Okay, turn to Genesis chapter 25, and we will continue our study there. Last week we talked about Abraham, Abraham's death and burial, also about the descendants of Ishmael, and Ishmael was Abraham's oldest son by Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, and we went down through the list of his kids there, and verse 16, these are the sons of Ishmael, these are their names and their towns and their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. Interesting, Ishmael had 12, right? 12 sons, and these were the names, much like Israel had 12. Kind of interesting, the correlation there. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, down near Egypt, and that goest towards Assyria. And he died in the presence of his brethren. So this is pretty much the last we'll hear of Ishmael. He's mentioned later on, but not about him specifically. By the way, Ishmael is, at this occurrence, is 137. Do you know how old that makes Isaac? Yeah, somewhere around there, 122, they're about 15, 14 between the two of them. As we get to verse 19, this is actually something that takes place before the death of Ishmael. So it talks about Ishmael and then his death, but some of these other things that will follow on here are actually before. So it mentions the death of Ishmael, but that doesn't happen till later on. So it's not like it's necessarily in chronological order. It just mentions his death here. So let's go on. Verse 19, and these are the generations of Isaac. So it's talked about the generations of, Ishmael. Generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. Verse 20, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. Now we talked about finding Rebekah and that whole process a couple weeks ago in the previous chapter. So Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan-Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. So again, here the connection to where she's from, and obviously remember Rebekah was a distant relative, the daughter of Bethuel, Laban, the son of Laban, which was Abraham's brother. Says verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. That's interesting. Kind of the same circumstance that who went through?
His
mother and father went through the same type of thing. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Here's a question. We'll find out a little sneak peek later, but do you know how long between when they got married and when Rebekah had children? How long did before she had children? There you go. 20 years. So they had waited 20 years for this situation to come to the point where they had, maybe not the first time they had entreated the Lord, but before the Lord answered, 20 years, again, they had waited. Now, did Isaac know? God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, right? And that you couldn't number his descendants, you know, by the sand of the sea, the stars of heaven. Do you think Isaac knew that? Sure, he knew the promise that God had made to him. And so here's Isaac, married to Rebekah, waiting for children, and it's been 20 years and still no children. So what did they do? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And Isaac and Sarah waited all of those years for the promise. You would have thought they would have had 25 kids by then.
Mm-hmm.
And the same with Isaac and Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are waiting and waiting and waiting
mm-hmm.
for that promise to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And they only ended up with two.
Yeah.
Just this one pregnancy.
Yep. Do you ever have to wait? Okay. You know where I'm going, don't you? They had to wait to see the answer to this promise that God had made. 20 years they waited for her to conceive. Sometimes we have to wait, right? Sometimes many years. Are we faithful in waiting on the Lord, or do we do something, okay, I'm going to say, do we do something dumb like Abraham and Sarah did because it's taking too long? Because God must have forgot by now, right? His promises. No, God hasn't forgotten his promises. It's just like Jerry said, God's timing is not our timing, right? So we see here, even in this situation, what did they do when they were concerned about the situation? They went to God and said, we understand what the promise is. We're waiting. So, verse 22, and the children, so she becomes pregnant, she's conceived, and the children struggled within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. So, I don't know, I've never had twins. Do twins battle? Anybody ever had twins or know anybody that's had twins? Do they battle?
Just siblings alone.
Siblings alone. Okay. Interesting here that this little mention of the two as they were growing and developing in the womb there, that they were battling even then. Kind of interesting the mention of this, as we see that this seems to follow throughout their lives and even farther into history, the battling of these two. what is Rebecca said? She says, if it be so, why am I thus? In other words, she's what? Yeah, right? There's got to be something wrong. This isn't normal. Why is this going on? Why am I feeling this way? And what does she do?
She prayed.
Okay, there we go. So twice already this morning, we've been encouraged to go to the Lord when there's a situation going on. No matter what it might be, if it concerns us, God wants to hear. So she went and inquired to the Lord. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, so the Lord answers her request and gives her an answer, probably not what she's expecting, but he tells her, he says, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people. Okay, well, that would, if we stop right there, let's think about that. So she's got twins, so there's part of the answer. And they're struggling now together in the womb, and they were going to continue to struggle, and one is going to come out on top, right? The odd part is what God tells her. He says, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now, what usually happened in the way things worked back then? Yeah.
Gets all of the heritage.
Yep. Usually it's the firstborn, but this isn't the only time that God does this. And again, God's ways are not man's ways, are they? God knows these two individuals. He knows their temperament. He knows how they're going to turn out. God determines that the elder is going to serve the younger. So verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Well, we knew that because God told her there was two there. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. That's interesting. You seen babies born that got a lot of hair, right? Some don't have any hair. A couple of our kids didn't have hair. Matter of fact, our granddaughter, Nora, she didn't have hair for like 2 years. Bald as a cue ball. Anyhow, little cutie. So this one comes out, hairy like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. Esau means red, or actually means hairy, I guess. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took a hold of Esau's heel. So we know this, that the one's born and the other one's hanging on to his heel of his brother as he's born. And his name was called Jacob. Jacob means plain man. That's interesting. And I wondered about this. Plain man, that's interesting. Why does it mean that? So I looked it up. Actually, I got to find it here. Hang on a second. So plain here, I'm sorry, Jacob doesn't mean plain. Jacob means heel catcher or supplanter.
There you go.
There you go. Or following after. You know what a supplanter is? I had to look this one up too. Supplanter means one who takes the place of another. Interesting. One who takes the place of another. We'll see more about that later. But this word plain, most people think, well, okay, so he didn't have a lot of hair, maybe quiet, mild type of person. It's interesting, though. The word actually means pious, upright, perfect. That's interesting. You know where else this exact word is used? It's used in Job when God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He uses that word perfect. That's what this plain means. Perfect.
This is describing Jacob too, as well as the supplanter?
Yeah, well, supplanter is what his name means. Plain is what it says here. It says, I didn't get that far yet. And his name was called Jacob. So Jacob means supplanter. And Isaac was 80 years old. So he was, when? He was 60 years old. This is how we know it was 20 years that she didn't bear children, because he was married at 40. 60 years old when the kids were born. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter. This is where it says plain. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Esau was a cunning or skillful or diligent hunter. So he went out and hunted, a man of the field. And, excuse me, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man. This is where the plain comes in. Sorry, I jumped ahead there. And I thought it was interesting, because when you think of, well, okay, one was a hunter and a hairy guy went out in the field, and that's what he did, and Jacob was... You hear this description, plain and dwelled in tents.
Homebody.
Yeah, a homebody. So you kind of get the idea that one was, if you want to put it that way, one was a man's man. You know, I'm out hunting, I'm gathering food, whatever. And the other stayed at home. And so that's why I wanted to look up this word plain. What does that actually mean, plain? And that's where plain means pious, it can be gentle, but it also means perfect, undefiled, and upright. It does, but any one of these words could apply to that, especially seeing how it's used towards Job. I mean, it could be gentle.
But we know later in his life he's not exactly upright, though.
Right, right. Well, yeah, but anybody, nobody's perfect, right? But I think the description here gives us an idea of his character. And as we continue on, you'll see why. Why did God choose Jacob over Esau?
God had a purpose
Right. God has a purpose. But God also... Exactly. That's where I'm getting. God knows what kind of individuals we are or going to be. Right? Now, yes, Jacob made mistakes. Abraham made mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But as far as his general attitude, it seems that Jacob was the one that was more concerned about spiritual things. Jacob was the one that maybe was closer to being perfect or complete or undefiled, pious in his attitudes towards the things of God. As we see a little later on here in a few more verses, we understand that Esau wasn't or didn't care for those things at all. So we get a glimpse, even in this word plain, in the description of Jacob, of what his attitude was. See where I'm headed? Okay. Excuse me. So, verse 28. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Here is a bad situation to begin with, right? Anybody who's a parent knows that the one thing, or should know, the one thing you don't do is favor one child over another, right?
Right.
Right. And unfortunately, that's not what happened. It says, Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. I even looked up this word venison. You know what this is? This isn't necessarily deer meat. It, it means whatever he brought in as he was out hunting, okay? Another thing a couple commentaries have brought up is in their culture, they lived where? Basically on a, if you want to call it on a ranch type situation, although they didn't own the land, they had cattle and sheep and goats and livestock and everything else. So was it necessary for him to go out hunt for them to survive? No, not in the least. They had all that provision. Maybe the going out hunting was a way to avoid working around home. I don't know. It doesn't tell us that, but some commentaries have mentioned that. So we see this situation between Isaac and Rebekah and the conflict that even this is going to create. So the next thing we know, verse 29, and Jacob sod pottage or boiled pottage or made a stew, any one of these will work. And Esau came in from the field and he was faint. So this faint, and I've looked up a lot of these words, faint here means weary or tired. That's what faint means. So Esau's out in the field doing whatever he's doing, hunting, comes back in, he's tired, faint. Jacob happens to be making a pot of stew, which we know contained lentils or beans, so we see that later. And Esau says to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that some red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name is called Edom. So Esau is referred to Edom and the Edomites, as we'll see later on. Edom means red, which refers to back to this red stew that he was making. So Esau says, feed me quick, I'm tired, I'm worn out. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. So Jacob says to Esau, well, sell me your birthright. And Esau said, well, we'll read through here, then go back and talk about it. And Esau said, behold, I am to the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. There's the beans. So this stew contains beans, lentils. And he ate and drank and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So what's taking place here? Esau steals his birthright, right? Have you ever heard that? Esau stole it. Or Jacob, sorry. Jacob stole his birthright. Or he cheated him out of it because he was near to dying. No, wait a minute. I've been out hunting before. I've been weary and tired before. I've never been to the point, and I doubt Esau was, to where he was going to die. Right. So how long would it take? Okay. So he says he's going to die, yet when he eats, so he sits down and eats a meal, and he gets up and walks away, so now he's fine. So eating a meal is, so if you're that close to dying, just eating a meal is going to revive you? You see? How, what? Depends on the stew? Okay. So his description that he says, well, I'm about to die, seems to be a dramatic exaggeration. I'm about to die. I doubt he was to that point if sitting down and eating a meal and getting up, whatever, 5, 10, 15 minutes later, and now he's fine, that he was actually to the point of death.
We say the same kinds.
Yeah, yeah. I need to eat or I'm going to die. Okay, I'm not touching that one. Yeah. So. Yeah. So Jacob says to him, sell me your birthright. What do you think? What do you think brought this on? Pardon me? Okay, maybe. Maybe. Maybe.
You know, because God said you're gonna be the,
maybe. You're getting closer.
Maybe Esau's character and knew he wasn't gonna fulfill.
Maybe Jacob understood Esau's character and had seen how he lived and he didn't care about those things.
Even going back to being born, Jacob grabs Esau's heel as he's coming out.
Right. Well, okay.
Was the mother being impatient after God had already told her which son was going to be in charge instead of waiting until God made it happen?
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, I got more.
Well, maybe he was jealous of the relationship that his brother had with his father.
Maybe. Oh, okay. You got another one?
Obviously, one was smarter than.
Okay. So let's back up to the fact that God said the elder is going to serve the younger. Do you think God put it in Jacob's head to ask about this? Do you think maybe he just asked in jest? You know, well, sell me your birthright, kind of as a joke, jokingly. Possible, right? If it was a test that God was giving to Esau, guess what?
He failed.
He failed. What? Okay, let's talk about this. What does the birthright entail? Pardon me? Okay. Yeah. So you get more of the possession. Is that all? Okay. You're getting closer. The birthright entails not just gaining a double portion, which is talks about, but the birthright also entails rights, privileges, and responsibilities. As the elder, or as the one who has the birthright, you are now responsible for
carrying on the family.
Exactly. As well as the spiritual leadership of that family. Now, we already see what Esau's attitude is. And see, this is now where I go back to that word plain. Why is that plain in there? Maybe that plain is because Jacob was more pious or more upright than his brother Esau. After all, God knew what their attitudes, what their lifestyles were going to be. Maybe God urged or whatever Jacob to make that statement to Esau. Maybe it had nothing to do with jealousy. I'm not saying it didn't. I'm just saying consider the possibilities here. God said that he was going to serve his younger brother. Jacob asked him. Jacob didn't steal it. After all, Esau could have said what? No. He said, well, can't I just have a bowl of stew without selling you my birthright? I mean, he had all sorts of options, didn't he? Nobody was twisting his arm. I can't do that with his arm. Nobody was twisting his arm. Nobody said you have to, right? What?
Unless he really was seconds away from
dying. Okay, unless he was seconds away from dying. He wasn't. Okay, even at that, even if you're that close to dying, if the birthright is important to you, why would you sell it for a bowl of stew? Even if it was that serious, which I highly doubt. Mm-hmm. Yep.
It did not mean anything to
you. Right. You know, I looked up that one too. You know what despise means? It can mean disdain, be despicable, to be vile. Whoa. To hold in contempt or to be worthless.
Worthless. I like that.
Okay. So now we see what Esau's attitude is towards that birthright. Towards that right he had as being born first, yet he held that with all of its possessions, with all of its rights, with all of the privileges, as well as the responsibilities, Esau thought of that as worthless. He didn't care, he didn't want it, he didn't want anything to do with it. You see, I'm back to this. The descriptions of him. And he didn't care about that at all, and so I'm willing to sell that or give it away. Sell here actually means the same as when you give your daughter away in marriage, just to give away. I mean, it can mean sell as in merchandise, but it also mean that as well. But it doesn't mean a thing to me. Sure, you can have it. I don't care. I just want something to eat.
So many individuals, even today, they do not want their responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the way people live. There's responsibility that goes with their position and this, that, and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want it.
Right.
So many of them play it away with their little computer games and everything else. I don't want that.
Right. So we see the true Esau. He didn't care about that. He didn't care about those responsibilities. He didn't want anything to do with it. He just as soon give it away because it didn't matter to him. He wanted to go out in the field and hunt, which may be where some people get the idea that that was avoiding responsibility, right? If you're out there hunting by yourself, then you have no responsibility of taking care of the homestead or being responsible for anything going on there. And again, that may be a stretch, but we know for sure what Scripture says about Esau. Actually, we'll see later on. Well, actually, let's turn there. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 of all places. Oh, never mind. We'll talk about it next week. We'll see what Scripture actually has to say about Esau and Jacob. Okay, Lord bless you this morning. Hopefully you've been challenged and encouraged. You're dismissed.